Well, Roland, we are back, and as we continue on, I wanted to, and you're laughing, and I'm glad that you are.
I'm
glad you are. Because this particular area, observations from the middle of the crowd, as I stand with you, ladies and gentlemen, and I do stand right there in the middle of the crowd. The fun in life, so go live it. I saw an article about this in the Los Angeles Times about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And it was about having the little moments, the fun moments that we have in life. And they could be little moments. It doesn't have to be a kufar or a chuckle. I'm going to give you an example. I was watching a television program with my wife. And one of these talent programs. Don't necessarily have to mention which one. And these two young comedians came on, and they were downright just plain silly. The word silly is no other way to describe it. I start to chuckle a bit, and then when he hit him with a powder puff in the face, I went ballistic. My wife has got this dry look on her face, and I kept in between kufars, and I was belly laughing. I'm saying it's a guy thing. It's just a guy thing.
So you were laughing at the slapstick.
The slapstick.
And she had absolutely no interest in.
She didn't even crack a smile.
Think it was funny.
She didn't think it was funny at all. And these kids were pretty silly. Yeah. They were trying to be, it was what we call, I used to call it droll comedy, where they're not trying to be funny, but they're hysterical.
Yep.
And they had me in stitches. I was, and most of the audience, I might admit, most of the guys in the audience, the woman didn't understand what the men were laughing at. And it's a guy thing. But the point of that is, I haven't had a belly laugh like that in a very long time. And every now and then something strikes you as being funny. I was getting off a subway. We talked about the subways in our pre-production lunch and meeting. And I remember one time we're in a car and a guy at the other end of the car. This goes back many years now. I'm still thinking about it. He had this most engaging laugh. He started to laugh. Not loud, just chuckling to himself. Well, the whole car started, and it's like a wave that came down to my end of the car. And I'm looking at him at the other end of this long railroad subway car, and I start to laugh at my end. And we're just chuckling away for no particular reason at all. I remember that. This is in the 70s, 40-some-odd years ago. I remember that to this day.
Well, laughter, like so many other things, is infectious.
Oh, it's infectious. Unbelievable.
And once it starts, I mean, you hear somebody else laugh.
Yes.
You automatically start with a smile.
Yes.
And then you might even join in.
Yes. And I've done some things in my life, little things, my brother and I were talking about this. My father once was trying to pour a cup of coffee, and there was a hole in the bottom of the cup, and we're trying to tell him there's a hole in the bottom of the cup, Dad. And he's pouring the coffee, and it's going right through under the table. And we just started to laugh. We couldn't help it. But we couldn't tell him what the problem was, and he kept pouring the coffee. And we remember these things. They were little moments, but that took place 60-some-odd years ago. And I can remember it as clear as if it happened moments ago, because it was a tender moment. He laughed with us because my mother wasn't very happy about it. But the point is, it was a moment, and it was a moment of pure joy and laughter.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, about laughter, Carl, is that you can go to any country in the world, and you may not speak the language.
Yes.
But if somebody starts to laugh, you join in.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is one of those universal, communicative things of being that allows us to find the interconnection between all of us.
Yes. And one quick other story, and then we're going to move on, because I know you have some things you want to add to this. On the internet just the other day, a little boy, his daddy was turning the newspapers. And every time he would flip a page, this adorable little one-year-old would just chuckle and laugh. And it's gotten, I don't know how many millions of hits, because it was just so beautifully simple, so wonderfully innocent, that my wife and I are sitting there watching this, and it was wonderful. And I say to my people, my observations from the middle of a crowd, if you grab a moment like that, don't forget it, don't lose it, be in the moment, laugh. My thoughts, my observations, as I stand with you, ladies and gentlemen. Roland.
Not bad. Not bad. I always enjoy your observations. I'm not so sure you are really in the middle of the crowd.
But standing right tall in the middle.
It depends where you are, though. You could be in the middle of the crowd in Barcelona.
That's true.
You could be in Rome. You could be Paris. You could be New York City or San Francisco. And the middle of the crowd is different in each place.
That's correct. But you're standing. In other words, it's used as a.
So you're observing is basically what you're doing.
Observing,
right?
From the crowd with my other humanoids on the planet.
Okay, look, I'm going to give you a list of names.
Yes.
And I want you to tell me the similarity between them.
Go.
All right. William Jennings Bryan. Alton Parker. Charles Evan Hughes. James Cox. John Davis. Alf Landon, Wendell Willkie, Tom Dewey, Adlai Stevenson, Barry Goldwater.
Politicians, governors, senators, authors, writers, communicators. How'd I do?
Close, except that all of these folks
are no longer living.
Were the losers in the presidential election.
That's true. That's true.
See? And that's where I think maybe someday.
I took it to the upside.
I'll add another one to that.
Yes.
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. We're going to talk about Ted Cruz.
I know. We have to talk about Mr. Cruz.
Because I've had just about enough of him. And I think this young guy, this young Senator Cotton, is falling right behind in his footsteps. This is
Tom Cotton.
Tom Cotton. Couldn't think of his first name, probably for good reason. We're dealing with individuals here who simply don't get it. And that's my point. They just simply do not get it. And this gentleman, after all this time, doesn't get it. Doesn't get it.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Mr. Cruz was born in Canada.
Yes.
His father was Canadian. His mother was American.
Correct.
So, therefore, he can run for the presidency of the United States because he does have American citizenship.
That is correct.
And he may have dual citizenship, as far as I know. I have no idea.
They'll be vetting that out.
Certainly.
He's not going to be president of the United States with Canadian citizationship, I guarantee you. He's not going to be president anywhere.
You're right. Well, I would.
But that's
good. Who knows?
That's going to kill it.
I mean, the way America's going these days, there's a lot of diverse opinions out there. And if you get enough diverse opinions together, you can have an election.
True. But I think the American public, and I always get back to my example of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire noted that they had a very similar rule for those who would rule the empire as Caesar. And that was because that would be that they were Caesar to be born on in the land of those who have ruled the earth. And if you weren't, and when they started incorporating people from other parts, the barbarians of the empire, the Roman Empire eventually fell. Now, in this case,
an interesting example.
Yes, I went far out. I went way out on that one. But nonetheless,
well, the barbarians, I thought was kind of an interesting word want to place.
That's what they called them. But I think Ted Cruz would fall into that category, in my opinion. But I want to get back to Teddy
right to
Boy.
Him, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name, Carl Sabatino. And I have enough of those coming in. But I think it's an important point, and an important point that you raised. But we'll talk about them because we have to.
Well, you are talking about them.
Yes, but in more depth and specifically.
Well, I wouldn't mind asking him if he'd be interested in joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Why don't we do that?
And I would doubt it very much because, I mean, we are small potatoes based upon what the major media outlets can offer.
Well, yeah, but they can't offer Smith Sabatino right now, and therein lies the tale.
Right.
You notice how I got the old marketing sales
thing.
Yeah,
I did. I saw
that sucker right on up, and off we went with it. But there is something we're going to talk about. It's called the fact checked, fact checking. And there's actually a factcheck.org. Did you know that?
I did. And
they are
and
very
I use
good.
Them a lot.
Yes, they're very
because
good.
Because every time a politician or somebody makes a major speech or makes a statement within that speech,
yes,
it doesn't matter whom they are.
That's correct.
The fact checkers says, well, no, that wasn't possible. Or, yes, that's correct. Or, and they give them, grades.
And some of these grades, by the way, are not very good.
No, they're not.
They're not because...
Because we're lazy. American people are lazy. We don't go check for ourselves. We want somebody else to do it and tell us what we think we ought to believe. And that bothers
me. That's a very good point. What they think we should believe.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
And I think you're absolutely correct because we are lazy. Let's not be lazy.
Well, you're not lazy.
But no.
I try not to be lazy. It depends on whether I'm... Well, I don't take out the garbage when I should, and I don't mow the lawn as often as I should. But that doesn't make me lazy.
It's so easy to get you working. I love it. It's like winding a clock. Off we go, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're taking a break.
And we are?
I think we're going to be back.
Where are we going?
I'm not sure. We'll be back.
When?
Guests and other people are coming on the show, and they're waiting. They're lined up in the corridors for Smith Sabatino. On America Weekend on the Envision Radio Networks, please, ladies and gentlemen, with Kevin in the control room. Stay with us.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.